Yeah, but you got to put yourself out there first, right?
Yeah, so, okay.
You
know, so it goes back to that. So
yeah,
put yourself out there.
Put yourself out. You first make that first step.
Right.
And then when to make that first step, people will start to see it. People like it. Then you eventually get spread. The news will spread and eventually people know and then they'll come to you. And then one job you do will lead you to the next job, next thing, next thing, next thing.
Hi, everyone. It's been a real long season, I know. This is the second last episode before we end season 3 of the Chris Hansen Conversation. Welcome back. Today's show is going to be a classy one. I've got a class act with me right now in studio as my guest. It's going to be a very punny show.
I can see it already.
I'm dressed more decently than I used to, you know, for most of my other episodes, as you can see, because this classy guy is next to me and I know he'll come dressed away. And I was right. He came dressed in this print and with prints for sure. And I said, John's going to come in prints.
Oh, really? You thought so? How did you guess?
John Class, you see, that's why. I've got the man, the classy dude, John, in studio today.
Hey, man. It's great to be here, Chris.
Thank you so much for being here, man. This is my tribute, our tribute
right.
to you.
Wow, yeah? Okay.
I've said this a few times. Sometimes I feel like a fucking parrot. I've said this a few times to guests of mine primarily, would you say your job is as a radio personality?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, really? Then what would you say?
I consider myself a singer-songwriter. That's basically what I've always considered myself that. And I've not done radio for as long as I've done music, actually. I know a lot of people, you know, hear me on radio more.
Yeah.
As a, you know, presenter, right?
Yeah.
But I was away for 15 years. I started off maybe in 1991 as a radio presenter. That's how we started off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had no way into the music industry at that point.
Okay.
So I'd come out of the army, right? And then in those days, we had nothing else. There was no polytechnic. There was no, you know, way to do broadcasting. There was no way to
you
do
mean
film.
There were polytechnics, but there were
not
no courses.
Those courses. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So polys were kind of relatively new at that point as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, what do I do? So I thought, first thing I'm going to do right after pre-U, go to army, just get myself into army, get that over and done with.
Right.
So I did that. And after army, what next? So I spent 1 year in my auntie's, she gave me a little room in a place to have my music equipment. I had all the band equipment there. I had my 4-track machine trying to write songs, which I was writing songs, just trying to get the songs arranged and, you know, into a demo tape that I could send someone.
Okay.
Had no idea who I could send it to at that point as well, because record labels here, you know, they were not really, you know, promoting local acts at that point.
Really?
Yeah, not at that point. So, I just, for 1 year, I was doing that. And while I was doing that, I was making some extra money, you know, getting into those, costumes of bears, Mickey Mouse, you know, that stuff to go to parties and entertain children.
So, mascots.
Mascots, that's the word. Yeah, that's mascots. That's the word, yeah.
Oh, God, you were doing that?
Yeah, I was doing that, right?
Oh, crap.
For about a year. Just to earn some extra, you know, cash to go and live a life while
Did
I was doing that.
Did you have fun doing that?
I had lots of fun doing that, I must say. I was in Orchard Road once and I forgot that I was actually in this mascot outfit, right? And I was near a mall during Christmas season, I think it was. And there were a lot of people walking by and I saw Thandip Singh, which, you know, a friend from St. Patrick's, right? So obviously I saw him and said, hey, Thandip, right? And then he looked at me like, he started running along. I said, hey, Thandip, it's me. Then of course I didn't realize because he had no idea who I was, right?
What were you wearing? Can you remember?
I was Mickey Mouse or one of those.
And then, you know, then Thandip Singh. So Mickey Mouse coming to him
and
approaching him and Mickey Mouse knew his name.
He was horrified that Mickey Mouse knew his name, calling out to him in Orchard Road, and he ran away. Literally, he just hastened his speed and then he just ran away from me, right? Well, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I'm wearing this, right? So so I was doing that 1 year, and then very interestingly, I had a, you know, girlfriend at that point, and she had a Rediffusion, you know, set at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to go to a place and used to hear, you know, Rediffusion playing.
Fantastic, man, Rediffusion.
Yeah, and then she told me one day, say, you know, this radio station is looking for DJs for an hour. You know, it's called Listeners Take Over.
Right,
right,
right.
And I think you should go and do this, right? And I was like, no, me in radio. I never thought of radio at all before as an option of something I would do, right? I said, no, I don't think I have it. I don't think I can. And she said, well, I think you have the ability to do it. I think you have the voice for it. Right. Go for it. I was like, nah, you know, I just left it alone. But what little did I know that she actually wrote into the radio station saying that I would like to be a part of the show, right? Called Listeners Take Over.
For the I'm sorry to stop you there, but for the benefit of our listening audience, our viewing audience as well, Rediffusion is something we had in Singapore. It's a box. It's a box where you only have a few channels to tune to and a volume button. It was cable radio.
That's right. You actually had to pay for it.
Yeah, you had to pay a subscription for it because it's cable radio. It doesn't come off the airwaves. There's no bandwidth to it.
It's no FM or AM.
But they had fantastic stuff, man.
Yeah, it was, you know, I thought at that point, a lot of cutting edge stuff came out from Rediffusion.
Awesome DJs.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had a call one day and it was someone from Rediffusion saying, okay, we received your letter and I would like to get you in for a show, right?
Right.
I was like, oh my goodness. I have no idea about the latest songs. You know, I loved oldies at that point. I used to sing a lot of oldies. And I said, okay. And then we fixed the date. I immediately called my friend, St. Pat's good friend of mine, Raymond Francis.
Yeah,
he was into that stuff, the latest music. He always used to, you know, act like a DJ as well.
He reviews those. He's a journalist, isn't he?
He was a journalist. Uh-huh. Now he's doing a PR, if I'm not mistaken.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So anyway, so I said, give me 10 songs, latest songs, give me some information on it, because we did not have the internet at that point, right? So you had to go to the library or, you know, look up in books to find out that information. And he used to, you know, read Smash Hits and Number One magazines.
And Number One magazines,
he bought that all the time. So he knew all the information at the tip of his fingers right? Yeah. So he gave me all that information, 1 to 10, Losing My Religion, all those songs at that point. And so I just send it to them and said, okay, these are the songs I'm going to do. So they had to get the records for it.
Right.
So finally, when we did the recording, did the show, I was just regurgitating everything that Raymond sent me. So happened at that point as well, that was someone in Rediffusion was leaving, one of the DJs was leaving to go to Canada. So there was going to be a spot open.
But
right?
Didn't it happen to be May Cecilia?
May Cecilia?
No, Cecilia.
No, it was not Cecilia.
Okay.
It was, I forgot her name at this point, but it was one of the DJs. And so happened was after I did that show, someone came up to me and said, oh, our program's director, Juanita Melson, would love to speak to you, right?
Juanita Melson.
Yeah. So I said, oh, about what? And she said, oh, well, you know, just go ahead and have a chat with her. So she sort of offered me the job, said, oh, I heard, you know, that what you did was good and we have a spot. Would you be interested? And of course, like, what? Really? I had not thought about radio at all. You know, this thing came because my girlfriend had submitted, you know, this letter of mine.
Well, she did you a big favor, man.
Sorry?
She did you a big
favor. She did me. I recently, you know, kind of thanked her again when she reached out to me on Facebook. I said, you know, because she came back, she's living overseas, but she came back, she heard me on radio. She said, John, you sound great. I'm really excited and happy that you're doing this. I said, it's because of you, man. You know, all those years ago, I'm doing this right now, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I got the job and then one thing led to another. Because I got into the industry, you know, so-called, my boss one day, I was telling her about how I have a band. It was three of us and we were working towards a demo. Mm. And she said, hey, I so happened to know the managing director of Pony Canyon, right? Mm-hmm. Which was a record label. At that point, it was set up to find local acts.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, he owes me a favor. Would you, you know, want me to arrange for a meeting with him so you can show him your demo? I said, well, that'll be fantastic. So I told my two other guys from Kick at that point, I said, okay, you know, we have this opportunity. Let's do a demo of 5 songs. Did the demo of 5 songs. Before you know it, we got signed on and, you know, the rest is history. We made that, you know, the 2 songs became a huge
hit. So it was
hit.
Because of your tenure at Rediffusion that Kick, your band Kick,
got the shot.
As a recording artist.
Yeah. And so one thing leads to another, right?
Wow.
They always say, just look out for the signs, you know, the doors open, go through the door.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another. And this was actually what happened for me as well. Yeah.
Wow. What a story, man. What a story. So since you wear so many hats, you say, when people ask you, so John, what do you do? Correct me if I'm wrong, if I read this wrong, what you said earlier on.
Yeah.
Songwriter, singer-songwriter. That's what you would say.
Yeah, I usually start off with that. And I said, well, you know, you may have heard me on radio as well.
You may have heard me on radio. Are you kidding me, man? Okay, so with these hats that you wear, let me just confirm this. Radio DJ, singer, songwriter, performer.
Yeah.
Which one could be a no-brainer question, but let's start small. which one brought you the most joy?
Well, absolutely. Obviously, it's going to be singing, performing, right? That's the thing that always brings me. That's why I always look at that being the thing I want to eventually, you know, sort of. And I say eventually because I feel I've not really achieved what I, you know, as a singer-songwriter have achieved yet, right?
Mm. What do you want to achieve?
I want to achieve a number one hit song in the U.S. charts, Billboard charts. I've just finished my album, by the way, so I'm really excited about that. I've sent out my final song for mix, so that's going to be released in the next few months.
Well, congratulations!
Thank you, and that's I think I'm really proud of this album because I think everything I wanted to, you know, kind of do or say in my music is finally done in this album. Because previously I used to do songs, you know, for projects. Right, I wrote for the movie soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Teenage Textbook was mainly for that project, so the sound and everything was, you know, in line with that. This time around, it took me decades to figure out who is John Klass as an artist. Right, if I want to record my own music just for myself, release an album, which I never got to do until right now. An album full of the songs that just represent me as an artist.
So these are originals, right? You wrote
originals,
them.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So
what genre would that be in?
Yeah, so that's the other thing. It's always going to be pop music because, you know, that's what I love, commercial music.
Right.
And because I was also always in radio, I can identify hooks and all that stuff. And so I always tend to write those kind of songs, which is radio, you know, type songs, right?
Right, right.
So what I did was in 2020, I started putting out some songs. I did an EP of three songs. And I was fortunate enough that the radio station Class 95 allowed me to actually, you know, put those songs on air as well. And from there, I could kind of gauge listeners' response to what they liked, right? Right. Mm. So one was a ballad, and then another one was a reboot of Jane, which was a big hit song.
Yeah.
And then the third one was sort of a new song, which was, a little bit of throwback, a little bit of a modern sort of sound. It's called ballad. People responded to that the most, right? And so I said, okay, I'm going to go in that direction. So for the rest of the album, I kind of did, you know.
Ballads.
Not ballads as in a ballad. The song's called Ballad. but it's the way it's done, right? So it's a little bit of a throwback sort of sound, but with a new sort of sensibility as well, a new sound, you know, sensibility.
So when music is concerned, specifically music.
Yeah.
Now that I know the story, how you actually end up on the airways as a DJ.
Yeah.
Specific to music. I mean, we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, in school.
You know, back in school, man. Let me tell you my impression.
All right.
We knew each other from school.
Yeah.
From the school days, early years. I only started taking notice of you because you sang on stage.
Yeah. Talent time,
right? I think I was singing on stage as well for that one. I can't remember it though. But anyway,
yeah.
And I was so impressed, man.
Really? Wow, cool.
I was so impressed. And that was when I called you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Called you up and I was so impressed by your singing. And I said, you know, we got to get into a band.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I think we did for a bit.
The first band I ever, you know, I had was with Chris Henson, man.
was that really the first band?
Yeah, you know, no one else thought of asking me to be in a band before that. So.
Do you remember that Sean DeMello was also with us?
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
Sean DeMello, you, me, a Thai guy named Apivat.
That's right.
Yeah, and we had a drummer, Elvin.
And a keyboardist as well.
Yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Yeah.
A keyboardist was... Jesus.
I forgot his name. You roped him in, so he was your friend, but
Erwin.
Erwin, yeah.
Erwin.
All right.
Yeah, he became a pro pianist.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah,
this guy was good, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was quite a good band, actually, for as long as it lasted. Yeah. We never got any gigs, though, but then again, you know, it was quite fun.
Well, in school. And,
yeah,
you know,
we were in school, yeah. And it was just fun to do, huh?
Yeah.
But it was then at that time, it perked me up. I went, oh, wow.
Right.
Really, man. I mean, I was quite blown away. You know,
right.
No worries. As I said last week, among the tributes that I've given for this season, Aaliyah D.
Yeah.
She was here.
Right, yeah.
In my studio. We sang, yeah.
All right, okay.
And I said this to her, I'm going to say this to you, man. I do not give tribute. So easily.
Right, okay.
To just about anyone.
Right.
Yeah. And you're here. in the studio. And this is our tribute to you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
music
that,
in Singapore. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I really, really hope your dream comes true, man.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm hoping that too before I go. Yeah. One thing I need, one last thing. I really feel.
One off the bucket list.
I really feel that this is the final thing I need to get done in my life, because everything else, more or less, I'm, you know, family life has always been the most important for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having a really good family that, you know, I can really enjoy being, you know, part of. I think that I've done that. I'm really proud of that as, you know, you know, as a person. And the next thing is going to be this, you know, with what I've done radio as well. I'm really, you know, also really proud of some of the stuff I've managed to achieve, but now it's the music, right? So that's the final thing. I've got the next 30 years to do so. So,
whoa, 30 years, man.
Yeah. I'm giving myself 30 years to enjoy it, you know? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you're looking at life from that perspective. 30 years, man.
You know, I saw Paul Anka at 82 years old early last year.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering before I went in, I was like, would he be able to sing and dance and have that same voice?
How
and
do you do?
Fantastic. He was there for 2 hours and he did 4 or 5 encore songs and he was jumping and doing leg lifts at the encores, right? So that shows you at 82, you can still...
Wow.
Be the top of your game, singing, performing to a, you know, a global audience, right?
Not so, that we're talking about someone that I mean, it's an inspiration to everyone who saw him perform like you, right?
Yeah.
Paul Anka. Some of the people, who are some of the people who've influenced you, your music?
Well, George Michael, big influence, you know, early
days. I was thinking anyone closer to home. So anyone at all, maybe family or friends.
Oh, right.
Who really influenced you or even mentored you. Was there anyone like that?
No, not musically. No, I've never had a sort of mentor.
Holy shit. You mean you've been going on your own all this while?
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been going on my own. I found out everything on my own. I bought books on singing on my own as well. And then discovery, right? As you do it, the good thing about it is that you're doing it on the job as well.
Yeah.
You know, in radio, you get to learn how to use your voice every single day. Yeah. You're on radio. You're always doing something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learning something new, right? Yeah. With how you use your voice and with singing as well. And now I also do this, you know, sort of Facebook Live, you know, once a week now. I get to sing as well. So that helps, you know, because every time you do something, you just understand it better and you get better at it.
You're sharpening your axe.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So tweaking and reading about things. Now there's so many resources on YouTube about, you know, different various singers giving you tips and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just watching those things and taking in and trying it out. And then whatever works for you, you keep. And whatever doesn't, you just throw it away, right?
Interestingly, you said George Michael, man.
Yeah, George Michael, yeah.
Okay, what about George Michael?
George Michael, I think he's a fantastic singer-songwriter, right?
Yeah,
great songs. He knows how to write great pop songs.
Yeah.
He has this sort of quality in his voice. He knows how to deliver the songs. So I've always, you know, I listened to everything he did. Duran Duran was a big influence in terms of music arrangement. The Beatles as well, obviously. I used to listen just to hear how they arranged the music and, you know, what made it so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, because I'm getting an age, my role models, I must say, are like Tom Jones, you know, the older guys who have proven that age is just a number.
Yeah.
Voice is still there.
Even Tony Bennett, don't you think?
Well, Tony Bennett.
Before he died.
Yeah. You know, these guys were still doing it, right?
Yeah, they were still doing
top
it.
Top of their game as well. Their voice did not deteriorate. They did not allow their voices to deteriorate. They still could perform their performance. So these days I find myself giving myself that, okay, you know, you're not too old. You can still do this, because a lot of people will tell you, yeah, you're this age, you know, forget that dream, man. Go, you know.
But don't you think that as vocalist, man, you lose something?
Not at all. I used to think that. I've personally felt I've gotten better as a vocalist. You know, I've just recorded, you know, my 10 songs for the album, and I'm listening back. I sound a whole lot better now than I did in my youth. Right. And that's because of understanding, you know, the more you go and the more you put into your craft, the better you get at it. Once you stop, that's when everything, you know, deteriorates.
That sounds a lot like me.
So never stop, right? Just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I realized of late, I can't do some of the stuff I used to be able to do in my youth.
Yeah. And that's just because you've not tapped into those areas for a long time.
Is it?
That's what I've learned, right?
I think I've lost it, you know, completely.
No, you've not. Believe me, you know, it's a matter of just going back into that space. If, when it comes to vocals, it's also a lot of times you're not tapping into various sort of range.
Vocal strands, your vocal strands.
Your range as well. Yeah. You're not going into that range, which you used to before.
Yeah.
And then also what you've learned about your voice could have changed the way you're actually using it right now as well in singing. Right. So singing and speech, two different things as well. How you use it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, all those things, it's, I'm fortunate because I get to do this every day, right? And that's why I still do what I do, because it keeps me, you know, on my toes. It keeps me doing, you know, what I do with my voice because it leads to other things as well. So
now that you've got this bucket list, there's one item on the bucket list you need to check off.
Yeah.
Right? And that have a hit in the US. Is there anything else, for example, any collaboration of anyone you've always hoped to work with, but haven't had the chance to pursue?
Collaboration at this point. I love working with various artists. So that's, you know,
anybody, a dream collaboration.
No, right now, I would have said it was George Michael, but that's obviously now too late. Kermit the Frog, though, I wouldn't mind. He's one of my role models, by the way. Kermit and Mickey Mouse, my role models growing up, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Over the Rainbow.
Over the Rainbow. I still sing that song. In fact, we still play that in Gold as well. Every time we play it, I was like, oh, yes.
The Kermit version.
The Kermit version, man. Yes.
Sitting on a water lily and a banjo.
There's so many songs about rainbows. What's on the other side?
Tell me about Kick.
Right.
You know, those are the years where I haven't really been in touch with you.
Right, yeah.
You know, the years when you had the band and Jane was out, you know. Of course, obviously, you're out there in the public sphere. I see, but this is what John is doing. John's up to.
Right.
He's got this band Kick, right? He's got this song. It's a pretty nice song, though, you know, that at that time, right?
And, yeah.
But I don't know the story behind Kick.
Right, okay.
How did it happen?
Right. So, like I said, so I was in the army at that point, and in the army, I did a lot of singing there as well because our CO loved music. So I was attached to this Sing Singapore sort of division in this particular army. So that's basically what I did during my NS days, right?
You didn't end up in music and drama company.
I did so only during reservice.
Uh-huh.
And that's another story altogether. But I was
reservice.
Doing, yeah, reservice, you know, I ended up doing music and drama. So
usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, usually it's the other way around, right? So, right after I ROD'd, I used to sing a lot. So, this band from the army who were regulars, had a gig to do for one of the army, you know, sort of, D&Ds, right?
Right, right.
At a hotel. So they had a band together and they said, hey, John, would you want to come and sing with us? Right.
Yeah.
Cause I just ROD'd. I said, yeah, okay. Why not? Right. Mm-hmm. Great. So we did, we went out and did this one show. And right after the show, we had a few of these guys saying, hey, we want to form a band and to record music and, you know, do all that stuff, right? Form a band mainly. So, but I always wanted to write original songs, sing original songs.
Right.
So there were two or three guys who were interested. And then we put out an ad on Big O Magazine. Remember Big O Magazine?
Yeah. Big O.
So Big O Magazine put out an ad. We were looking for a keyboardist, guitarist, and we already had a drummer and stuff. A few guys responded to this ad and we said, okay, let's do a rehearsal, you know, and let's get together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the keyboardist said, well, I know I've got a space in my home where I have a whole band equipment thing. You know, why not you come over?
Right.
So we went over to this guy's place. I met up. So only four of us turned up. So it's myself, this guitarist that I met from this army band, and then these two other guys who were new joiners, right, from Big O Magazine.
Right.
And while we were jamming, everybody was saying, you know, I wrote this song, and then we're all jamming our own songs. Hey, I got this song. Everybody was listening to each other's songs. And then we all got excited about, you know, wow, yeah, this sounds great. We could do this. We can do that. All of a sudden, while the three of us were talking about these songs, the guy, the guitarist who was from the army band, slowly just packed his things and walked away. He said, well, I'm not really into original music. I like to play covers, right?
Right.
So he walked off and was left with Jai, myself, Dinesh, which was Kick. And then we realized that all three of us shared that passion for writing original music and recording, right? And that's how Kick actually started out.
Okay.
And then I told you the rest, how we got into, you know, meeting with the record label and everything. So, yeah. So once we got that recorded, we spent 1 month in the studio. Once we got our record deal, which was incredible as well. We went to the office, and on that afternoon itself, we got signed,
mm-hmm.
right? He heard, the MD heard our songs, and he said, okay, you guys, let's put this on paper, right? And it's like, what is this happening? Like crazy fast, right? So we signed it, and within the afternoon, I came out. I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm a recording artist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was sometime when we signed on. I think it was August, and then mm-hmm. in December we block booked the whole this studio. Form Records, the record company blocked it off,
mm-hmm.
and we recorded the whole album in a month, right? We got this producer, co-produced it from Australia, and first single we released on a compilation, just to put it out there, was Freedom, which is a song I wrote, and it got radio airplay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that did pretty good. And then when we released the album, they put out Jane, and that's when it just, you know, took off. Radio picked up on it. Actually, and that one radio really helped in a great way, because Perfect 10 at that point, they were playing it like nonstop, almost once every hour, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when we started to perform in malls, you know, doing our promotion shows, mm-hmm. people had come up to us and says, I had no idea that it was a local band doing that song, right? I love that song so much, I had no idea it was a local band, right? Mm-hmm. So that was basically the sort of strategy the record label was taking, not to put it out so much that it was local band, it was just music in general.
Mm-hmm.
And before you knew it, it took off in that sort of way. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then Kick went on for how long?
Not too long. So it ended off as quickly as it came about.
What happened? What happened?
Yeah. So, you know, by the time we had released that album, we did a few shows. We did huge shows in KL and in Malacca. Mm-hmm. Really, really like 40,000, 60,000 people turned up for those shows.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those shows that they have.
Wow.
They use the car parks, you know, of these malls to do the shows, which is fantastic. Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. And it was well received. So the record label says, okay, we're going to send you to London to record your next album, right? With a producer that we chose. And we actually, Jai and myself, actually Dinesh had to go off to study. So he was not involved in that process. And Jai and I went to London, recorded the album, and really excited because the songs were produced so much better than the first album. And before you knew, when we came back, the Asian financial crisis had struck.
97, 98.
Yeah, that's right. And that's when the record label had to pull out. So we never released that album.
So we never got released.
Never got released that album, right? So that's when we were like, oh my goodness. And that's when I went and joined 98.7 full time. They pulled me in at that point. So yeah, so I made that transition, you know, lost the band.
No, hang on a second. Hang on a second. So that London trip you guys made.
Yeah.
And to you, obviously you're in London, right?
I mean,
the kind of producers you've got and the sound engineers that you've got there working on your stuff is going to be like ace, man.
It was great. It was the stuff that, you
and
know,
then
take
you
that
never
was.
Got fucking released.
Never got released.
So what happened to that album now? I mean, is it still collecting dust somewhere?
Yeah. So, okay. So the thing about it was because it was stopped halfway, we only had, I think, half the songs back from the producer, because he only mixed half the songs,
right?
Because he claimed he only got paid half the bill, because the record, you know, producer pulled. The record label pulled out. Right, so we only had five songs back, I think, at that point.
Yeah,
and I managed to get those five songs, and basically just kept it, and we couldn't.
And you don't want to release it on your own as an independent?
At this point, I don't think it's, you know, any point doing it, because it's, you know, it's like, in the 90s, it's still that 90s sound, and it sound like a little boy.
Well, come on. How can you say that? 90s sound. Look. I'm going to be point blank again about this topic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've talked about this all the time. 90s sound. Today, listen to Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Reminds you of the 90s?
Obviously. Yeah.
Bruno Mars. Why does he still survive?
Yeah.
Not,
throwback.
Wrong.
A lot of throwbacks.
Thriving.
Yeah.
Thriving still. Throwing back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with 90s music. I think a lot of young people today also attest to the fact that music was so much more fun in the 80s and the 90s.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, yeah, I concur completely, right, as well, together with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you've got some 90s sound being released today. For all you know, it might just be quite a hit.
Yeah, it might be. You know, if there's interest in it, you know, I would think about it.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no legalities governing this thing. I mean, why not? You and Jai, because you two guys did the work for it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If there's nothing that's stopping you in terms of ownership.
Yeah,
I mean, think about this. You've got your album. I'm just this is just top of my head. I'm just talking cock at the moment.
Yeah? Right.
See whether it makes sense.
Yeah.
You've got your new album you're releasing soon.
Yeah.
You have this dream of reaching, you know, the American charts, right? And then you've got 5 to 6 fucking songs.
From the vaults.
Worked and produced in freaking London.
Yeah.
And it's not been released. I mean.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, it's an opportunity.
I mean, colloquially, man, it's like them fucking Cy Young, right?
Yeah, it is. I've had a few people actually ask me even, you know, to put it on you know, the streaming platforms and stuff.
Wow.
And I've thought about it, obviously. But, you know, as an artist as well, sometimes you're listening and say, well, you know, my voice sounds like I'm like, you know, adolescent kid.
Then
you take
the original stuff that you've got. It's your stuff.
I don't have your, I mean, we have only the sound recordings. Record it
again.
Yeah.
Record it again. Don't change the 90s sound.
Yeah.
But record it again.
Right.
You sing it again.
Yeah.
With John today.
Yeah.
John's vocals today. And do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, your album's not released yet. So who knows? You have an additional 5 to 6 new songs added to whatever you're releasing.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be quite refreshing because it seems to me now a lot more of the 90s sound is coming back.
It is. People have throwbacks, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, I don't see what's so bad about that, man. For all you know, there's going to be some revival of some sort.
Yeah.
You're going to take advantage of it. I think it's a great idea.
No, I actually think, I mean, since speaking to you, that just releasing it in its original form, you know, because it just was a point of our time, our lives, you know, the second album of Kick following the first album, and just remembering it for what it was could be it as well, right? This is the lost recordings of Kick, you know, from the 90s or whatever. You could just put it out anyway.
Yeah. Why not? Because now John Klaas is the whole total package.
Right.
Compared to John Klaas, as you said in your own words, man, I sounded like a kid back then.
Yeah.
Today, you're the whole package. I mean, think about this. You're a celebrity. You're a personality on radio. You're a celebrity, no doubt.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
We've known each other for a long time. I've got a lot of celebrity friends. I'm not a celebrity at all. But you guys.
But people know you, though. Everybody knows Chris. Even in school, people knew Chris Henson was.
Oh, boy. This. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to go there. This episode's not about me. It's about you. And you know, you're the whole package now. You're a celebrity. You're on radio on air almost every day. You're a songwriter, as you said, and you are. You're a singer. You have albums put out there. You got another album coming out. And then on top of that, there is also a line called John Klaas Suits.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
What's the story of that, man?
Well, it's also a St. Patrick's connection right there, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, Suresh Molchan, right?
Oh, boy.
You know Suresh, right?
Suresh.
So one day I walked.
You see, still his jumpies.
Oh, he's still exactly the same. Talk about someone that can talk forever. That guy can. He goes on.
He can talk forever. Yeah,
he's an entertainer himself. So one day I was looking for you know, sort of bespoke suits as well.
Yeah.
My wife said, why not go to Far East? You know, let's check out the suits over there.
Okay.
And she remembers walking by this shop, right? It's around the second floor, she says, where this guy is always sitting out there. He's very friendly. He's always saying hi. And says, yeah, I mean, I think it's around this area. So we started walking by and then she said, I think it's this shop. I remember seeing, you know, this guy, but he was not there at that point. So we just walked into the shop and I was inquiring about suits, right? So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Suresh walks in and says, hey, brother! I was like, hey, man, you're from St. Pat's, right? I said, yeah, you know, what are you doing? Yeah, so I said, I'm trying to make a suit. So I made a suit and I liked what he did. And then we started talking. Hey, you know, I've always wanted to do this and, you know, make my own suits.
Yeah.
I love that look and stuff like that. So we decided to do a business together. He knows the suit business.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a specific type of style. So mm-hmm. it became a John Klaas suits sort of business with him.
So he became he suggested the idea, I suppose.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's got to be Suresh.
Yeah, it got to be Suresh.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how John Klaas suits came about.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to say, man, after that, to me is watching all that happening, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, now John's come into his own. He's got John Klaas suits now.
Right.
And then I saw snippets of your concert.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. 2017. Now,
yeah, I mean, it, and this one got me. This one really got me. Can we play that one, please, Kai?
Oh, really? We've got a clip.
Yeah. Let's play this for a bit.
And some say love is holding on, yet some say letting go. Some say love is everything, and some say they don't know. Perhaps love is like the ocean, full of conflict, full of change, like a fire when it's cold outside, or thunder when it rains. If I should live forever and all my dreams come true, the memories of love will be of you.
Now, this is the bit that I felt was really freaking silo, man. This bit. Believe it or not.
When I'm walking out?
Yeah. No. Don't get me the wrong way, man.
Yeah.
That exit, man. That exit was like star freaking quality exit.
Right.
And looking at you on that stage, there's one thing that hit me. I mean, John's arrived.
Right. Wow. Okay.
No, cool. Really. Because I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't give a fuck. You know, I'll say things very boldly.
Yeah. And I know that.
Without wanting to be disrespectful.
Right. Right. Yeah.
When Kit came out, to me, Jane was nice.
Yeah. 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 I didn't write it though. So, yeah.
Yep.
So you can say whatever you want. I didn't like the song personally.
it was great. He's got a band. His album's out, you know, or the band's album's out, you know, great. John's on air. You're great.
Yeah.
You know, so, but didn't impress me.
Yeah.
Then when I saw that,
right,
I went, fucking hell.
Right. Yeah.
That's John arrived.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of that verve you had when I first saw you perform in school.
Right, right. Okay, all those years ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, that to me, that hit me then.
Right, yeah.
This one hit me when it came out.
Right, yep.
You know, and I went, what the fucking hell? There's so much in it.
Right.
There's so much in that. I mean, everything was so well planned, well organized. Look at your players, man.
Yeah, they're all wearing John Class suits, by the way.
I'm not surprised. And then you guys were in a car.
Oh, yeah, you saw that on the band.
The carpool karaoke thing.
Band in the car.
Yeah, the band in the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were also hyped.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you got a female drummer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and she's a real good drummer as well.
Yeah, and your voice, you're right. The way you perform now, the way you sing, the way you perform, so much better.
Mm.
Dude, that was a bomb.
Great. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I actually played that like 5 times.
Right. Wow.
Prepping for today's episode. You
right,
know?
Right.
And I kept watching it. I go, wow. Now this guy's got it. You know, and the way you ended that performance, man. Oh.
Cool.
No, well done, mate. Really.
Thanks.
To me, you've arrived. You know, right. You're there. And I really hope that your new album's going to fly off the shelves. I mean, nowadays you can't say, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, yeah,
Not literally flying off the shelves anymore these days. Everything's digital, right?
Yeah.
It's going to go on digital platforms, right, I suppose?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So,
first of all, thanks for saying that. And everything you said is exactly how I felt as well, because I've always felt that whatever I did in the past was not really me. That's why I said that, right? It was not really representative of me as an artist.
Yeah.
I was just doing stuff because, you know, it was available to me. It was stuff I was being asked to do. And finally, I then sat down one day and said, okay, what am I really as an artist? Who am I, right?
Yeah.
What song should I be singing and who should I be putting out? And eventually, after all that, the concert was, I think, the first of that sort of incarnation. Okay, this is going to be me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is what I'm about. And the concert was the first thing.
Yeah.
And everything else since then has started to...
Okay, so as a performer, in terms of genre, you said pop music.
Yeah.
That's what your album is based on, commercial music, right?
Yeah.
But personally, man,
Well, the John Denver song, I would consider pop music.
Well, yeah, okay, that's pop music. But the way you presented it...
Right, right.
It didn't feel like... It didn't feel like a John Denver song.
Right, right, okay, okay.
You know what I mean?
Right, right,
yeah. It was different.
Yeah.
I know it's a John Denver song, but it didn't come out and present it that way.
Right.
So what sort of genre do you really, really love?
That.
You're going to say pop again, right?
No, okay. So I guess...
See you as a balladeer.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Absolutely. It's exactly what my wife has been saying all these years, right? So I'm like Richard Marx, right? I love that sort of Richard Marx when he first came out with all that guitar-driven type songs. Eventually, he became Ballad Man. I'm not sure if you actually watched that concert where he actually started to only do ballads, which I hated. But that's what people liked about, you know, Richard Marx, you know, Right Here Waiting, and then Now and Forever, I'll Be Your Man. And all that. I really always considered those songs to be like sappy, 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 right? And my wife said, no, that's when exactly what you said, you know, that's what you do best, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I always thought it was uncool. So eventually I embraced it. Okay. I said, okay, I think, you know, I've come to a certain age and I think maybe there's some truth in that. So when they did the concert, I realized that people, my friends, you know, from school who came to see it also told me that that particular segment, which was the love segment of the show, was their favorite, right? Mm-hmm, and I was like, okay, man, you know, maybe that's what I'm going to do. So when I released my first comeback sort of song for this era, it was an EP. I did a cover of a ballad, which I redid on my own. It was, you know, made popular by Anne Murray. It was called I Just Fall in Love Again.
I Fall in Love Again, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't, because I realized there was no cover done by a guy. And I always loved that song.
No cover done by a guy, really?
Yeah. So, you know, recently I did that cover. And when I played it on radio, got to play it on radio. Someone texted me and said, hey, you know, I've always wondered why there was no guy singing that song. And so when I heard it on air, I went to look for it in Spotify and I found out it was you, right? I, you know, Shazammed it. I was like, oh, wow, you like it? So yeah, you know, I thought it's great. And exactly what I've always wanted, you know, was having a guy sing that, you know, song.
Which is why I was looking so puzzled.
Right.
Because when you said no guy's done it before, and I went, really? I thought I heard it before.
Right, okay. So you might have heard that
you.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, so take a listen if you can.
I will. I mean, I heard it before.
Right, right, right.
So when you brought this up, because when I heard it, it was on radio.
Right, okay. So you must have been listening.
But I didn't know who it was.
Right, right, yeah.
So now I know it's you.
Yeah, it's me, yeah.
Okay, okay.
No, guys, the Carpenters did it, you know, and then Anne Murray did it.
Yeah, Carpenters did it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Anne Murray made it big.
Yeah, hers was the big one, yeah.
I cried a tear, I wiped it dry, was confused.
No, that was You Needed Me.
Oh, that's You Needed Me. This one is what?
Dreaming, I must be dreaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I get confused in my old age.
No, it's Anne Murray, basically. One song sounds like the other, but all great songs, yeah.
So when you had that concert, what was your objective, man?
Well, I've always, because I've done shows, you know, and I've done like small shows and I've done, I do a lot of private shows, and I wanted to kind of put a marker down as, okay, this is me being artist, doing the songs I want to do in my own style and own way, right? So, yeah, my wife, that's what we do actually. We put out shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she said, let's do one. And so we gave it a shot. So, okay, first question was, who would come, right? Who the hell would come? Because I've been known all this while as a DJ. I've not done music in a long time, you know, like in the public. So who'd come? So we had a recital studio at Esplanade. So it's a nice 200-seater. I said, okay, let's try this out. And we sold out. So that's, you know, that was encouraging. And right after that concert, we actually had planned a few more, and then, you know, COVID hit, and then everything, you know, stood still for a while. So then I started working my album, and then, okay, so, you know, finally done with that and going to be.
Yeah, I've seen guys like, you know, friends like you. And then I know Romito had one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mendoza. And I did ask myself this question. A ballsy move, man.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I would have thought tough. The same. Like, you know, if I mean, I would never do it. Like, you know, I mean, who the hell would come listen to me? Exactly. Who the hell would
exactly,
come
right?
Who the hell would come
everybody
listen
will ask
me?
That question. Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. You yeah. know, so everybody, I'm sure, I think, you know, if you watch the Elvis film as well, right? Elvis was saying the same thing, man. He was saying the same thing. Who would want to listen to me do this?
Mr. Class, let me just tell you this, man. If it were me, it would bomb.
No, we cannot say
no
that.
No one's going to turn
up. No. I'm telling you. If you believe in yourself, man. It starts with that first. Then eventually people will see that belief and it will come. Man.
But when I see you guys do stuff like that, and I go, oh, wow. I wish to God.
You see what you're doing right now, you know, in this podcast, in this, you're putting yourself out there, right? And then the next thing leads to the next thing. And you got to start putting yourself out there. That's all I'm saying, right?
I really don't know, man. To me, it's like, it's so ballsy to do this. I mean, you got to go out there and sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and, that stuff, because man. It's validation of yourself. And then and then you fear that your biggest fears will come true when no one buys tickets, right? So that's a tough thing.
So did everything work out the way, did it work out the way you wanted it to work out?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, because, you know, the reason why I do is because I feel good doing it, right? I feel like I am living my purpose, right? Yeah. That's the only reason why I'm still doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is because I feel I need to do this. Yeah. Otherwise, I cannot die. Really, I cannot die. Really, I cannot die. That's exactly what I'm doing. And that's what drives me to do it. At this age, really, why would I even want, I've got a great job in radio, pays me well, comfortable, right? Why am I still, you know, have this urge to want to go and write my own music, do this? Because it takes up a lot of time on top of what I'm doing in radio. It is, and it causes-
It's an itch you got to scratch.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. So I know that there's a purpose for me to do it.
Yeah.
It's not just vanity. It is something I have to
do. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Just man. Like what you're doing right here as well, I'm sure. I mean,
I had to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
and kudos to that. As I said, just like you've been looking at what I've been doing, I've been looking at what you've been doing as well. Not really. And I'm so glad that you're actually doing this, because I knew you've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Yeah.
You finally sat down and said, okay, heck it, I'm going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And that's how everything starts, when someone says, heck it, let's just
get
do
this
it.
Shit done. Yeah.
And then you see, you know, the magic appear.
Yeah. I where I'm sitting right now in this space.
Yeah.
This is my dream.
Absolutely. I know.
One
that.
Of a few.
Yeah. So knock it down one at a time until you can say, well, I've done it all, now I
can
die.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Man. No, man. So would that be the same advice you would give to anyone aspiring in music?
Absolutely. I've been surviving on music for most of my life, doing music, writing songs for TV shows, for kids shows, stuff that I love doing. And in Singapore as well, I've supported my family doing music and not singing in clubs or anything like that. You know, not that people think, okay, to earn money, you've got to go out there and sing. You don't have to just do that. As a singer-songwriter, you can do so many other, and get so many things done.
Like what?
As I said, songwriting, performance, of course.
Okay, you write songs, you get commissioned to write songs.
Yeah.
But people need to know who you are.
Yeah, but you got to put yourself out there first, right?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, so it goes back to that. So
yeah.
Put yourself out there.
Put yourself out. First, make that first step.
Right.
And then once you make that first step, people will start to see it. People like it. Then you eventually get spread. The news will spread and eventually people will know, and then they'll come to you. And then one job you do will lead you to the next job, next thing.
So I'm curious, man. Now that you're talking about this and you say that I've been feeding my family with music.
Yeah.
Right. That's how I've been earning my living. And of course, the hungry years as Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. As Mickey Mouse.
As any mascot, you get into a costume, you get paid for stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you still continue to write your songs. You get commissioned eventually. But outside of radio, let's say, for example, hypothetically, John Class is not on air.
Yeah.
But he's a music composer, writer, musician, performer.
Yeah.
Would you still be able, do you think, to feed your family, to have fed your family without being on radio?
So I was not in radio for 15 years.
Yeah, that I know. That's why I remember that gap, the 15-year gap.
Yeah. Right.
What happened during that period? Could you get by?
So, see, the thing about it, I've always had one single mindset, and it was never to earn money, right? So money was not my concern, because I guess I had this thing since I was young that I was always going to be doing music. I was always going to be successful doing it, and money would not be a problem because everything will follow if I did it right, right? So that was, I guess, naive thinking, if you want to call it. Now in hindsight, I'm thinking about this crazy guy, right? It's a crazy guy thinking that way, you know, because I had all the confidence in the world that I'll be able to succeed and do that, right? Right. So to some extent, yes, successful with Kick, and that helped because I had that name with Kick. Mm-hmm. And because of Kick, I guess it was easier for me to get into 987 because I already had that sort of background where people knew me. So I got into 987. And then I did what I did in 987. And then eventually I left after 2 years. And after that, it was surprisingly so. I never had to look for a job for 10 years at least. People just kept coming to me for this or that and this and that. I was freelancing literally for a long time. People asked me, could you do this? Could you do that? And I realized just by doing radio, I could do so many things. I could script, I could produce, I could, you know, all that stuff because I was doing that in radio as well. Right. So I realized I could do so many things. I could write songs. I could write, you know, theme songs. I could do children's shows. I once had a job. Someone asked me, can you write 30 songs in 30 days, literally for a kid's show because they want a tight, very tight schedule.
Right.
And he said, well, we can pay you the money, but you need to deliver, right? So I was like, obviously, I'm going to take the money. And I just said, yes, not knowing if I could do it. I was like, okay, man, one song. I had to do 3 songs in a day because there was like,
oh boy, this.
Yeah, so, but it was short songs, right? Like 2 minute songs each.
Still is like, right brain could be swelling and hurting, man.
Yeah, so, but then because I had that timeline, I disciplined myself to make sure I delivered the hooks and all that stuff for kids to sing, right? Yeah. And I did it. And it's because you're telling, I'm going to do it. Don't think about how, just do it, right?
It has to be done.
It has to be done.
Yeah.
I did it. And because I did that, then I got a lot more offers coming in because, John can deliver the goods at this particular short notice as well. Yeah.
So you showed that you could deliver. But net of it all, to answer my own question, advice to young musicians out there that, like John, you can still feed your family, feed yourself. You put yourself out there, right? But you got to have the talent and the drive to deliver.
Okay, so let me give you another example, all right?
Yeah.
Talent is, what is talent as well? Is one man's talent or one man's you are good and is another man's I don't think you're great, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically what you think of yourself.
Right.
Right. That's the most important. Look at Madonna, I say. Madonna, if she entered a singing competition, she'd never win. Right? Never win. She doesn't have a voice.
Yeah.
You know, a good voice. She's not Mariah Carey. She's not Whitney Houston, right?
She's not a diva.
She's not a great singer. Let's put it that way. Yeah. The rest of them, they're divas because they know they can sing well, right? So Madonna had to put in a lot more work in terms of finding ways to get herself out there, get people talking about her.
Branding, her personality.
Finding the right songs. Yeah, all that stuff, right? But her determination is what got her to being bigger than some of these Mariah Careys and Whitney Houstons because Madonna is now like the queen, right?
Yeah.
And why? It's because she knew how to use whatever, that determination, I think, in the end, is just knowing I want to get there, how I get there, I don't care, but—
Don't give up,
don't
quit.
Give up, I'm just going to go. Just like when I was given that song, I took it first, those songs to do, I took it first, don't think— Let's just do, I know I'm going to get it done. Just tell myself I'm going to get it done and I'm going to get it done. And eventually it got done. And because of that, more things came to me, right?
So it is about the old school motto, isn't it? Potest qui vult. Huh?
Yeah, really.
For those of you who don't know what potest qui vult means, other than sounding like protest and revolt.
I always thought it was that. Protest and revolt. Yes, that's cool.
Potest qui vult is a St. Patrick's School motto. We are very proud. Old boys at the school.
Absolutely, man.
And potest qui vult means he who wills can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think that motto of ours, man, look at our friends.
Yeah.
Has driven us.
Yep.
It was a good, damn good foundation for all of us. It's driven us to really be determined and resilient.
Yeah.
And what you got to do means you got to do. You know, what you have to do, you got to do. Yeah. What a man's got to do, you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, we don't quit in that.
Yeah. And as long as you tell yourself that.
So it's not about talent, huh?
It's not. It's really, in the end, right? It's what you make of yourself. And if you think that's what's going to happen, there's no two ways about it. I'm going to make it happen. It will happen. I'm telling you, at 50 plus years now, I'm still dreaming to do this.
Listen, you're just like everyone else. Don't want to say how old you are. I
already said 50 plus, man. Yeah, it's like already bad enough.
Fuck that. Okay, you are 97 years.
Exact same
97,
year.
97, same year as me. Yeah, we're the same freaking age, dude.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
We're 54 this year, okay? Let's say it.
Yeah, yeah. I forget. Once 50 came, I said, I don't even want to know how old I am.
We are young senior, man.
Yeah,
we're young seniors.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, right?
I don't know, man. Are we getting a bus, senior citizens bus pass next year?
Next year, yeah. And we can apparently go to the movies and pay half price on weekdays.
Oh, I do that now.
Oh, what? How do you do that?
Yeah, nearby, man. Nearby. You go down to the hub nearby.
And you get
and half you price. Go for the movies? Dude.
No, you can only get it at 55, right?
No, this one, 50.
Really? Wow, okay. You have to wait 5 years then.
Just to let you know. I mean, if you ever want to pay half price for your movie tickets.
I can do it now already. Wow.
You can do it now.
Okay, man. It's cool.
Okay.
So don't give up. It's the self-doubt that stops a lot of people from doing it, right?
Yeah.
It is self-doubt. Yeah.
What do you think of music today, man?
What I think of music today? I think music is good, you know, if you think it's good. No, really. I do think that.
Don't be politically correct here.
I'm not. I know a lot of people say that, and in music from the 80s was great. And I think the only reason was because, you know, we grew up in that era and we had a lot of memories attached to it.
So we're being biased?
Yeah, in some ways. I think everybody says that, right? The people in the 50s grew up in the 50s. Great music there as well. 50s music, no one can beat that. Rock and roll. I agree. Rock and roll is great.
Wait. This is debatable here. Because why?
Okay. Let's
look at this in proper context. Yeah?
All right, yeah.
The 50s. People who rocked the 50s, yeah? They have every reason to say that was the best era. Simply because the king of rock and roll brought rock and roll to the world.
Yeah.
Then the Beatles came along. Then you had the 60s, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, those baby boomers who say the 70s were the best because why? And they were not wrong either.
Yeah, not
but
wrong
you have
either.
To see, if you take a look at those time periods, man, and link that popular culture to what happened in history.
Right, yeah.
So in terms of music, we know that the 50s and 60s, Motown also happened then.
Yeah.
The Beatles came around. Then there was the British explosion at that time as well because of the Beatles. And then after that, you've had the Vietnam War.
All right.
And then you see the music became a little different.
Yeah.
The hippie generation came about.
Bob Dylan.
And then after that, the 80s, right? In the 80s, don't forget, the wall came down. There was a Cold War.
Yeah.
And it reached the stage where Gorbachev came in and we had Glasnost.
Yeah,
and then the wall came down. Yeah. Reagan was around.
Yeah.
Then we had the Iron Lady Thatcher and we had the British explosion again.
Yeah. And it's because of Thatcher's,
Because
policies.
She's all about meritocracy, but she's concerned, right? Just like us in Singapore, right?
Yeah.
And you go out there and you work for a living and you build something and music came up.
Yeah.
Right. And then we had a lot of Brit music. Like you said, Duran Duran. Don't forget Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Spandau Ballet. Yeah. Of course, we would say, hey, music was better then.
Yeah.
Because look at how things evolved. Digital actually started then because there was so many
electronic music,
synth sounds, you know, Thompson Twins, Depeche Mode, all using synthesizers, Kajagoogoo.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened then. Right. And so, of course, we'll say, but today.
Yeah.
Since the millennium turned.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, what was it? Black Eyed Peas. Okay. They all use Garage Band to write their songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. What else?
Well, there are a lot of, as I said, I wouldn't say iconic types, you know, sort of bands. Yeah, I would agree with that. Right. There's the few, okay, the Coldplays, the U2s, U2s as well.
U2.
In the 80s as well. Yeah, the 80s, yeah.
Coldplay, I agree.
Yeah.
Coldplay, I agree. And what's that guy, Dave Grohl? What band was he? Oh, geez, what's it called? Shucks, damn it.
Where can my baby be?
Pearl Jam.
Okay, yeah.
They're no more anyway. Pearl Jam, they became, you know, quite a household name, right?
But they were going back to the roots of real music, right?
Even Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now, and then now my boy is nuts over Kanye.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
What do you teach him, man?
I don't know. I don't know where I've gone wrong, really. And he's like, I mean, Kanye this, Kanye that.
Really,
if he comes to Singapore, I'm going to be, he's going to drop his album soon. I say, he's not. He's going to fool you guys again. And he did for a day, but eventually he did that. And yes, I know he's a bit of a nutter, but then why?
Yeah.
And then I told Aaliyah this. I've said it in that episode. So since we're talking, I'll say it again. He said, he's bigger than Elvis.
No way.
Oh, can you imagine telling me in my house?
Exactly. Yes. No way.
And you know, I mean, look at what are they producing today, man? You got hip hop and this hip hop and Taylor Swift.
I actually like Taylor Swift. Have you watched her concert?
It is epic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. She's a great performer, great songwriter,
But look at the whole package and you think back Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
You think back Whitney Houston. Right? You think back these people, yeah? Let's be fair. Forget about genders. Prince.
Yeah, you know, you totally different sort of, you know, thing. Absolutely. But, you know, see, the thing about it, because my daughter is a huge fan of Taylor Swift, right?
Boy.
So I often ask her as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you see? And Taylor Swift is not one of those flash in the pan type artists as well. She's actually one of the more pure singer-songwriters.
I'm not saying she's not good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that compared to how much impact there has been by artists on globally.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't compare Taylor Swift to Queen.
Yeah. I mean, they're different artists. But I think what's the difference right now? Because I've had this conversation as well with my daughters. And it's social media, right? That's made a difference and made them bigger than they would have been if not for social media.
Yeah.
Because on the music alone, yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah. They're not Prince. They're not Queen. They're not ABBA even.
Yeah, right?
Which gives you something that a lot of artists can't, right?
Yeah,
These special sort of artists.
Yeah.
And social media has a lot to do, knowing how to manipulate social media. In fact, I'm doing a study right now because I'm at this stage of my sort of music sort of career where I'm going to release my album. And I've got to learn how to do everything in the modern world.
Yeah.
Social media has a lot to do with it. So I'm actually taking some sort of lessons with this guy who actually initially managed Taylor Swift.
Wow.
His name is Rick Barker, right? And he talks about how when he first started with Taylor Swift, they were ground zero. First, they really sort of looked at social media and the only thing they had at that point was MySpace, and then eventually grew into, you know, Facebook and all the other stuff, right? So he talks about everything to do with social media, and I agree with that as well. When social media first came out, also as an artist, we now can bypass record labels, can bypass everyone else who were the gatekeepers to your music, and say, I can go directly to my audience, right?
Yeah.
So now let's find out how I do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways. Spotify gives you that chance, playlisting and all that stuff. There's a lot to learn. Which has made a difference because now you're impacting people's lives, not just by the music, but as a person as well.
Right.
On the little things that you can sort of connect with your audience about the lyrics that you write, about your experiences in your personal life. And they can, you know, and that's the thing, the dynamic has changed. It's not just about music anymore. And it's not about what the tabloids write about you anymore. It's now you can write about yourself and connect directly with the audience, right? Yeah.
So what you're saying is today, the artist is seen for their authenticity.
Yeah. So when I ask my daughter, why do you like Taylor Swift? Music's one, but it's all the other things that make Taylor Swift personally in her life.
Wow. I tell you.
That they connect with the love stories, how she breaks up with a boyfriend. She feels this pain and all these kids or girls or fans growing up with that same pain relate to her. And then they reach out and, you know, all that stuff.
But you're an ex-Jenner, man. Now that you've learned this, right? And then as an artist, if you're going to use social media for this purpose, would you be willing to bare your soul and your heart, you know, and your personal private life on social media?
Well, that's the thing. So there's a line you have to draw, obviously, right?
Yeah, it's a damn fine line.
So I'm trying to figure out that exactly what, how, and all that stuff. I'm in the process right now.
Because, you know, for a lot of guys like us, and especially those older than us, you know, we go, how much do we want to really put out there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if we put too much of ourselves out there, it makes us vulnerable as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah. And then you start wondering, like, and then there'll be those who would say, of course, there'll be the older audience that will say, why are you doing this, man? Why are you telling everybody about your issues and blah, blah, blah. And then when you talk about issues and you also share happy stuff, people are also glad to see it, you know.
And some not so. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The cynics, lah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I really hope, I wish you the best.
Thanks,
you know, for your new album. And your exploration into this space now.
Yeah, so that's the thing that's interesting. And that's why I'm not writing off, you know, the new music, because obviously, you know, people like it and because it's got to accept it, embrace it and see why is it that people are interacting and with the music and how they're doing it these days, you know, and, you know, try to move forward with that, right? Rather than just.
Yeah. And, you know, as I said, you know, I really hope your dream comes true. Thanks. That, you know, really, you get what you want in the next 30 plus years, man.
I'm hoping to get it in the next couple of years and then enjoy it for the rest next 30 years and not only happen at an 80 something.
We're going to do something right now. We can do something.
All right.
I've got John Klaas here.
All right.
I did this with Aaliyah and I was nervous as shit.
Okay.
Because, you know, this is not really my job.
Something that you can do.
I suppose. And I was nervous as shit when I sang it for her. Yeah, but I think it turned out okay. But so, when I have John Klaas in the studio, I have to sing.
All right, yeah.
With John
Klaas. Let's
do this. So this is going to be a cheeky song. Why cheeky? Because it's a song that's going to be sung by two Eurasian boys from St. Patrick's School.
From St. Pat's.
Knowing fully well that their wives be watching the show.
and my wife knows how many girlfriends I've had, and she's had more boyfriends than I have. So, you know, she's not going to judge me.
Well, good for you. I don't know whether I'll be the doghouse after this.
We'll find out. You're always welcome to my place, you know.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I'll take you up on that.
Just the street away.
So, you know, this is a song to all the girls I loved before.
Me? Yeah.
And,
okay.
and I since you were the classy guy, and Julio is a classy guy. So you do Julio.
All right.
And I'll do the gruffy guy.
All right, man.
Because I mean, look at me, I'm the gruffy guy.
You're Willy.
Thanks. I'm Willy.
I'm sure a lot of girls says, "Hey, hello, Willy."
Hey, Willy. Oh, look at that, Willy. There goes his Willy. Okay.
Oh, I love that Willy.
Okay, so Kai, whenever you're ready, man, just play the song.
All right. All right, Willy.
To all the girls I've loved before.
How many again?
A lot. Who travel in and out my door.
Revolver.
And I'm glad they came along.
I'm sure.
And dedicate the song.
Right.
To all the girls I've loved before.
To all the girls I once caressed.
Rubba rubba.
And may I say, I'd held the best for helping me to grow.
I'll bet.
I owe a lot, I know, to all the girls I loved before.
The winds of change are always blowing, and every time I try to stay, the winds of change continue blowing, and they just carry me away.
Willie,
to all the girls who shared my life, now are someone else's wife.
Ignorance is bliss.
I'm glad they came along. I dedicate the song to all the girls I've loved before.
I'm sure you can't remember them all, yeah? To all the girls who cared for me, who filled my nights with ecstasy.
Hell yeah.
They stay within my heart.
I'll always be a part of all the girls I've loved before.
The winds of change are always blowing, and every time I try to stay, the winds of change continue blowing, and they just carry me away.
To all the girls we've loved before,
who traveled in and out our doors,
we're glad you came along.
We dedicate the song to all the girls we loved before, to all the girls we've loved before.
That's right, we traveled in and out our door.
We're glad they came along.
We dedicate the song to all the girls we love before.
All right. Yes. Ms. Johncast. Thank you, everybody, for watching this episode with the classy dude, Johncast. This is Chris Hansen. You've been watching the Chris Hansen Conversation, of course. And we are one more episode less. Next week, Friday, is going to be the season finale. It's going to be a great one. Make sure you tune in, okay? We'll see you again sometime. We hope you've had fun with that song. And wives, don't get angry with us.
All right, see ya.
See you guys. Bye-bye.